Korea's economy before and after Kim Jong-il.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. As the world wakes up to the news that North Korean leader Kim Jong-il has died of a heart attack and is being replaced by his son Kim Jong-un, South Korea is already putting its military on high alert. And U.S. officials say decisions on nuclear talks and sending food to North Korea could be postponed. For more on the situation, we're joined by Brian Myers, who's a professor of international studies at Dongseo University. He's with us from Busan, South Korea. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, bring us up to date on the current state of North Korea and its economy.
Well, as for its economy, the economy seems to be in better shape than it was just a couple years ago. I was in Pyongyang in North Korea in June, and you could see there was sort of a different atmosphere in the air, a lot of cheerfulness, a lot more foreign cars on the streets, sort of Western style franchises like hamburger shops and things like that. You generally get the impression of things looking up economically. And the usual reason given for this is that Chinese investment has really increased quite drastically in the past few years in North Korea.
But we're still talking about one of the poorest countries in the world, right?
Yeah, well, you know, of course, Pyongyang is a special case because it's so to speak, the showcase city for the entire republic. But I drove across the country to the eastern coast as well. And I must say, I saw a lot of evidence of malnutrition. You see stunted children. People are generally much, much shorter than their counterparts in South Korea. But I saw no evidence of starvation, and I didn't get the impression from talking to people that you know, any kind of revolt was in the offing. Certainly nothing like that.
What are your main concerns as we go into the next days and weeks and this transition in North Korea?
Well, part of the problem is that Kim Jong-il really has died at a bad time for the North Korean regime, because 2012 was supposed to be a long, nonstop celebration of North Korea's having attained to the status of a strong and prosperous country. And the North Korean economy really just has not fulfilled expectations to that extent. So the danger is that the North Korean regime might want to divert attention from its economic failures by ratcheting up tension with the outside world. And that could mean some kind of provocation, another attack on South Korea, perhaps like we saw in 2010, or perhaps problems on the nuclear front. So it's certainly unstable.
Brian Myers, professor of international studies at Dongseo University in Busan, South Korea. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, here in the U.S., starting today, some of the biggest mortgage lenders are putting a halt on foreclosures and evictions. Companies including Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, as well as Wells Fargo, Chase, and Bank of America, will put off many foreclosures until after the new year. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
It's hard to knock the biggest lenders in the country cutting desperate homeowners some slack just as folks are gathering around the Christmas tree. But this could turn out to be less than a big deal. First, it'll be over pretty fast.
It's going to be back to business 3 or 4 weeks from now when the holiday season ends.
Guy Sakala publishes Inside Mortgage Finance. He says banks will quickly catch up on the tens of thousands of evictions that they delay. Plus, he says banks are going to restart home seizures now that a big legal settlement over foreclosure abuses is moving forward. The moratorium will help a few who find a miracle on 34th or whatever street they happen to live on. Gail Cunningham of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling.
You know, if someone could land a job during that period and convince their lender that they have a plan to catch up on their past due payments, then it could be all it takes to stay in that home.
That's not in the cards for Thelma and Eric Caravantes, though. They stopped paying the mortgage on their well-kept bungalow in Portland, Oregon, after Thelma was laid off as a home health aide. With just Eric's minimum wage job at a grocery store, they couldn't keep up, and the bank is foreclosing.
No tengo una comunicación abierta con el banco, pero
Caravantes says he hasn't had any communication from his bank in weeks. He's not sure whether the family's covered by the halt to foreclosures. So his wife and kids are stripping the Christmas tree and boxing up the ornaments, just in case. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down more than 1% in Hong Kong and Tokyo, but higher right now across Europe. In Sweden today, automaker Saab filed for bankruptcy after its former owner General Motors blocked Chinese investors from buying Saab. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow dipped 2 points to close at 11,866.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The big Las Vegas hotel casino Caesars Palace is about to open a new tower, but the focus will be on fancy rooms, not gambling. And that's something that's happening more and more in Sin City, as Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
Your room at Caesars Octavius Tower will have marble floors, a pillow-top mattress, a velvet couch, and a whirlpool tub. Why leave all that serene luxury for this?
They're definitely appealing more to non-gamblers, especially the business travelers.
David G. Schwartz heads the Center for Gaming Research at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He says Caesars is just the latest company to build a boutique hotel inside a mega resort. Steve Wynn and MGM have done the same. Guests don't have to go through the casino to get to their room, but if they want to play,
you're still only a few hundred feet away from the gaming tables, so it's not like you have to leave completely and go to another property.
It's your own private Vegas away from Vegas. Schwartz says it's a big bet meant to lure the wealthiest customers. That's who hotels are competing most fiercely to get, because high rollers have proven they'll keep coming to Vegas no matter how bad the economy gets. I'm Eve Tro from Marketplace.
And finally, to a restaurant in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that has a pasta dish so spicy you have to sign a waiver before you eat it. According to WBZ-TV, some people have needed medical assistance after indulging at the East Coast Grill. One man's reaction was, quote, pain. I can't breathe. I can't talk. It tastes good at first. Now I can't taste anything. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.